This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Outside the Round. Today, a very special guest. He's a guy from one of my favorite states in the country, a country music hotbed known as Georgia. He's from Roswell, Georgia, and he has been killing it. The past 2 years have just been wild, and he's out there selling out shows, opening some big slots, going to be at a bunch of festivals this year. With us at Raised Rowdy, we got our boy Vincent Mason. Vinny, how you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm glad we can make it work this
Me
time.
Me too, dog. Me too, dude. I mean, life has just been busy and been crazy. Talk about, I mean, we're only a few months into 2025. How's it been going?
It's been good. I feel like last year everything that happened was like brand new to me. Like the whole year, it just felt like the whole entire year was a brand new experience. But now, I mean, I still feel like I'm busy, but I feel like I have a little bit more of a rhythm to it. Like I kind of know what to expect a little bit. So it's been good. But I think I'm also getting used to like the baseline changes for what's busy. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm doing just as much stuff now, but it feels a little lighter just because it's what we do now.
You know? Yeah, getting to travel around the country, dude. And you've been in town now for 5 years. You moved up here as a kid, not even 21 yet.
Yeah.
And to sit the path that you've gone down and like growing with the homies that you write with and getting to go out on tour with a bunch of people. What's that journey kind of been like?
It's been really cool. Yeah, I guess it has been almost 5 years, which is crazy. It always feels like I was just been saying like I just moved here.
Yeah. You know?
But I guess it's been like 4.5 years now. And yeah, I think like finally meeting people that, you know, not only you like write with and get great songs with, but like I'm starting to meet that class of people that are my age kind of just across the board. You know what I mean? Like publishers like Kyle, like in my day to day, he was like my best friend in town. Like Jack Routon, Jack Hummel.
Oh, dude, I love
Chase McDaniel.
The Jacks get so many shout outs on this podcast because Hummel, I used to party with like BC, like right before, I always say BC before COVID. Like I used to do house parties and stuff with him. And then Jack Routon, I remember when he moved to town and was out on the road with Gavin TMing. Yeah. And he asked me, like, dude, what advice do you have for tourners? I'm like, bro, just ride the ship. Just hang on for dear life and you'll figure it out. But yeah, dude, you've surrounded yourself with some great guys and girls in this town, dude.
I think so.
And it's so important to find that.
For sure. I'm just kind of glad that I did because, like I said, I moved right in the middle of COVID and, like, didn't see anybody for a while. When I first got here, like, I just didn't see people. Like, everyone was all, you know, boarded up or whatever. I just, like, sat around writing songs. But it does feel like home now, you know, which is great. And, like, you're meeting people that understand what's going on, what you're doing. You don't have to explain, like, what a publishing deal or a record deal is all the time, you know? Like, everyone just kind of gets it.
Yeah, dude, and you've got both of those things. I mean, the past year just seems like it's been a whirlwind. Like, how do you stay focused and stay grounded with just this rocket ship where it's just you start selling out shows, you get to go on the road with some of your heroes, you get to be along other rocket ships like Gavin and people like that. Like, how do you keep your head in the right place with all this crazy shit going on?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what we just kind of are recording our album now. And like, there's not really like a full concept to it, but like there's a loose thread line of like, I've always just been a kid that like loved to go home. Like I loved going home when I was like, you know, 3-4 years old. I was always like just waiting to do that. And like, I've always kind of loved like a routine and like doing the same thing and being in the same place. Like I've always really liked that. And then now it's like, you start writing a couple songs and then it's like all of a sudden, like you said, like you're doing all this stuff for a year straight and like you're doing all these things that like you wanted to do, but you didn't know how it would feel and you're doing it constantly. And I love that too. So it's like I kind of have this like, I don't know, you exist in this space in between where you're like, yeah, I would like to kind of just be at home, but also it's like you can't get enough of playing shows and doing that stuff. So to answer your question, I guess it's kind of just an ongoing thing, but
yeah,
it's kind of what I've been writing about lately, which has been cool because I kind of got my start with like the heartbreak, like kind of, I guess, red dirt, you know, heartbreak songs. But I've also loved like hit songs like, you know, Ernest, Hardy, Morgan, like the whole time too. So I feel like it's a different subject matter to write about, which has been cool because for a long time that was it, but not really like super heartbroken all the time, you know? So I was like, I kind of don't feel like writing these songs anymore. So this has kind of been a new thing where I'm like, you know, exploring that, I guess. So
yeah, and one of the guys that you mentioned that's like part of your crew is Chase McDaniel, a proud Virginia Tech Hokie.
Yes.
He's been a good buddy. He's somebody that came up playing our rounds and stuff. And to see what Hell is a Dance Floor has done for you and like getting to do that with one of your best buds.
Yes.
Just take us back to like that that day, like from the song being written to you and the team putting it out, and now it being a song that has millions and millions of streams and something that the crowds are singing back to you every night.
Yeah, so that day I had written with Chase about a year before that in a four-way write, and I remember thinking he was really good, and I just kind of didn't see him again for a while, and then it's like we really kind of did, I would say, like meet writing Hell's It Answer, which was cool, and we had both just signed it, Hang Your Hat in town, and Chase just had the idea. It was a two-way, and our publisher at the time, Jake, who's now like my A&R, and we're working on the record together too, so like Jake's been a big part, but he walked downstairs and he was like, y'all should just write something that streams today. He was like, forget the fucking radio. He was like, just write something that streams. And we were like, I mean.
You're like, how do we do that?
And then Chase had just said, like, Hell Is a Dance Floor. And like, I was kind of getting used to writing that much at the time. And like, I honestly was like, you know, like I just was like, that sounds cool. Let's do it. And then Jake came down there and gave us that speech. And we were like, I mean, yeah, like that would be cool. And then we wrote the song in like an hour and a half, and then work taped it. And I kind of like go on that big part that goes like Hell's a Dance Floor, like the long like OOOs. I kind of went higher on them, and like on the work table, like they do not sound good on the day of. But yeah, I remember hearing it and I was kind of like, I mean, it's fine. It's cool. Like we did our job. And then Jake was the one that heard it and he was like, that's sick. Like go cut that. And then I went and worked on it with Brett Truitt, who's a writer in town, who's awesome and like really good producer. And then we were posting we were going to make an audio to tease on TikTok. That was our goal. Like, we're like, we'll make an acoustic audio that sounds really good. And it just turned out to be the record. And then, And then, like you said, like, it just did so much for the artist career, you know? Like, it really, like, started it. There was, like, I was putting out songs, but what we got to do because of that song, I guess it kind of made me realize, like, how much one song can do. I still think it's crazy. Like, it's just like you play the Opry, you get all these tours and all, everything. It all comes from one song. And it's like, I'm trying to get another one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude. But it's also like that feeling of when, do you remember the first show that you went out like Hell's a Dance Floor?
Yeah, we played one show with, I was on tour with Ashley Cook the whole fall before we wrote that. And it was acoustic. And then we went and played like, I think 2-3 more, like it was either added shows or reschedules or both. I can't remember, but it had just come out and we played one and then people kind of knew it there. And I was like, oh, and then we went out with Gavin for the first time in April, I think, before we did that whole fall run with him. And then we played Newport, Kentucky, where we didn't know. We didn't check the venues. We checked the first venue cap. Kyle was our TM back then, so we didn't really know what was going on. But the first venue cap was 500, and we were like, okay, it's like a bar run. And then we pulled up to Newport, Kentucky. It was, I can't remember the name, but it was like this big, we pull up, and it's like a really big room. We're like, God, this is kind of like a big room. We weren't even on ears at that time. We're like, Evan, how many tickets you sell tonight? He's like, this is our first time playing in Kentucky. He's like, we sold 2,200 tickets. And I was like, holy shit. And then we walked out there and, you know, the set was going fine. And then we did Hell's a Dance Floor. And that was the first time. We weren't on ears. So I heard the whole room. And really, people were singing it. Like probably like 1,000, 1,500 people were like singing it. And I was like, oh, damn. And then that's kind of when we knew, we were like, we might be on to something on this tour. Like, I was like, I have this song now that people know. And Gavin's crowd is, Gavin sells tickets like no one.
Oh, I don't think he's played a show that he hasn't sold out.
No, he hasn't. Ever.
Which is absurd. Because I remember I had him on here on the pod like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And to see what has gone on since then. And you were one of the first guys that got to open for him and got to experience the Gavin experience. And you guys are great buddies. And Gavin's a great dude. I don't think people realize how chill he is.
No.
But like, he gets on stage, he's like a bull. It reminds me of like the early days of like going to see a Co show or going to see a John Langston show.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's a fullback on stage.
Oh, for
just
sure.
Going. So what was that like? Because your style is very different from that.
It
but
is.
You still won the crowd over.
We did. Thank God we had Hell's a Dance. Thank God for Chase McDaniel having that idea. Because if we didn't have that, I don't know if we would have won him over. But no, we probably would have been.
Yeah.
But, so Gavin is like, he really is so chill. Like, people don't get, like, he flips a switch when he goes on stage. And then, like, it comes right back off when he leaves. Like, he's just a chill guy. And, like, he's really, he was great to us. Like, he really cares about the things that matter.
It seemed like you guys were like brothers and are like brothers.
Yeah. Well, when he first, when we first played the shows, he just DM'd me on Instagram, and I hadn't heard him yet or heard any of his stuff. And he was like, man, I really like Little Too Good. Like, why don't you come down and open our show at Zydeco? And I was like, all right. And then, like, I went and listened to the stuff on the way down there, and I was like, he likes A Little Too Good. Like, listen to, like, Deep In and, like, like, I think his album, first album was, like, Bonfire Blackout was the name of the album. Yeah. And I was like, he likes A Little Too Good. All right. And we pulled up, and then, like, he walked out on stage, and, like, the place was just, like, thumping.
Yeah.
And, like, we kind of knew early on. Like, it was, like, Zydeco's, like, a 300-cap room. I love the way that people were.
Yeah, and that upstairs room with those low ceilings, bro, that room's got a lot of history, dude. Super I've been in there many
times. It does
times.
Have a lot of history. I think they were saying, like, 5 or 10 years before we played that show or something, Riley Green and Luke Combs were there for, like, $10 each.
Yeah, oh, yeah, dude. That's there's so many. You've gotten to go through so many of, like, those cool clubs. And to do it with as an opener with guys like Gavin or girls like Ashley, and now to get to go out there and do it as a headliner.
For sure.
Is sick.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, that's my favorite part. Like, I always wanted to try to sell tickets. And Gavin was always great about that, too. Like, he always gives me, like, his little pointers that he's picked up. Like, he really wants us to do well. And, like, the people he cares about, like, he's like a friend, like, that really, you know, cares about the right
things. It's like a Georgia brotherhood, too.
It is.
You guys all want every Georgia guy to succeed and just keep the tradition going.
Absolutely.
It's been a tradition for 20, 30 years now.
I know, yeah. I ran into Red Akins one time at Sony. He probably didn't even know who I was, but he just walked out, and I was writing with Chase and I think Brian Fuller, and we were in, like, the kitchen, and he just walked out, and he's like, what's your deal? And I was like, oh, I'm just, like, you know, artist in town. He's like, where are you from? I was like, Georgia. He's like, you'll make it then. And then he just left. So it's kind of cool. I mean, I like to be from Georgia for sure. I've always said, like, I didn't really get into country music until, like, probably 8th or 9th grade. And, like, my dad's from Ohio. My mom's from West Virginia. And, like, they were big on country music. So, like, I kind of found it on my own. But it was my friends and everybody that I met in Georgia that kind of put me on to that. So I've always said, like, I'm kind of like a Southern songwriter, you know. I love John Mayer and stuff like that, and I think the Georgia influence and the country influence, just being in the air, like,
yeah. And, like, 8th 9th grade for you, because you were born in 2000, which is wildest. I mean, I'm not that much older than you. I'm 95, so I'm right around that same ballpark. So, like, 8th 9th grade, that's like peak FGL. That's like Al Dean, Brantley Gilbert, Thomas Rhett,
for sure.
Like, all those guys doing their thing. Tyler Farr, Colt Ford, Luke Bryan, the list goes on and on and on.
I think that was always the thing, like, when Thomas Rhett and Luke Bryan were coming up, like, everybody was like, they're from Georgia. Like, we got to go, you know, like, everyone, it is cool, I think, to be from there and have all those people come out of there, but I don't know. It's like Texas high school football or something going to the NFL. Like, if you're from Georgia, you got a good chance, I guess.
Yeah, and you've got so many great markets to play down there. I think that's part of the reason that there's so many guys and girls that come out of there. It's because you can just make a living just touring Georgia like Corey Smith and Brantley used to do.
For sure.
Like, you can play in Statesboro one night, Tifton the next night, Savannah, Milledgeville, Athens, Augusta. Where in Georgia is Roswell?
Roswell's about 30 minutes north of Atlanta. So it's just that kind of Metro Atlanta, like, radius. Like, I always say it's the same town. Like, if you drive an hour in any direction out of Atlanta, it's just the same.
Yeah, Marietta, very similar. Kennesaw, very similar.
It's like copy and pasted, just, for about an hour outside of town. A lot of people live there, and a lot of people move there. Like, most people really aren't from there.
Yeah.
At least where I grew up. Like, everyone was moving for
business. Yeah, where were you going to see shows? Like, so you fall in love with country music as a teenager. Did you get to a lot of concerts before you moved up here?
No, I didn't really go to shows. I always loved music, like, from a really young age. Like, it always was something that, like, if I was watching even, like, College Game Day or something, like, the whatever song they picked, like, before the, like, whatever edit they made with the song, like, I was always just drawn to that. Or I would look up, like, highlights for the songs. Like, my favorite, like, LeBron highlights would be, like, because they used this song. Like, Tavon Austin.
Yeah.
I was a big West Virginia fan, so.
Okay.
Yeah, that mixtape is goated. But, I always just loved music, and, like, I always paid attention to the production. I was always kind of, like, really hard on, like, I didn't want it on my iPod if it wasn't good.
Yeah.
Like, if I bought it and then I decided it wasn't good enough, I'd be like, damn, I got to delete this now.
Damn, so, I wasted $1.29.
Yeah, I wasted my 99 cents, my dad's 99 cents or my mom's, whoever's it was. But, so anyway, I just really always loved music, but, like, I just wasn't really going to shows a lot. I guess we went to, like, see whatever rapper was in town. Like, that was always, like, the move. Like, once we got to high school, like, we'd go see Post Malone or whatever.
Yeah.
Lakewood Amphitheater was the big place to
go. Oh, yeah.
But I went and saw Luke Bryan right after I graduated high school. That was my first country show.
Dude, yeah, and there's something about, I remember the day after I graduated high school, I went and saw Toby Keith. This was in 2013, dude. It was like Kip Moore and Colt Ford opening up, and I think Drake White and the Fire or whatever his group, whatever his name was back then. It was like Drake White and a group, and I just remember that I was like tailgating on the lawn. I'm like, this shit is awesome.
Oh, it is awesome. It's my favorite place to be still. It's just a country music concert, like preferably on the lawn.
Oh,
like,
you're drinking all day,
and you're just on the lawn. Like it's just like
the pit is cool, and like, but there's, I don't want to have a seat to sit down. I want to be on the lawn with my boys. I want to make friends. Yes. I want to.
Sun's
do that.
Going down. The opener's just finishing. Dude, like it's just like, it's still the best feeling in the world. I love being on those. We got to be on a few Lou Bryan shows last year. And that was our first time doing like amphitheater shows, but
it's a whole new ball game.
It's so fun to just be out there all day, like bring a football, like you're out there on the lawn just throwing it all day, and then you get to play the show, which is like sick.
Yeah, you know. that's wild, and it's like something that I've kind of, because I have a lot of buddies like back home in New York, they're always asking me about, they're like, so what's Vince Mason, what's Gavin Echo, what's all this? You guys coming up together reminds me of like years back, like Coe and Parker coming up together. Hell like when they put out their collab together, and you and Gavin having a song out together, and it's like you guys are like this a Southeastern kind of version, but you're doing it your own way too.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, like I wish I could have gone and seen like a Parker Co show,
because that's what they used. They toured together for years, just like you and Gavin did, playing small clubs in Texas and Oklahoma.
I know. Maybe me and Gavin need to run it back here in a little bit. We're out here headlining for the first time though, so that's good. I think we kind of need to build up our own.
I could see you guys.
It would be fun to come back.
Yeah. Well, when you guys tour again, at the point where you guys are both at, that'll be fucking arenas, bro.
Yeah.
That'll be arenas.
Gavin might be the way Gavin runs it. I mean, he might be doing that next week.
Yeah, dude. It's crazy.
We'll pull up to the first show and we'll be like, oh damn. This is bigger than we thought.
That's crazy, dude. So talking about, like, you obviously talk about, like, Hell's a Dance Floor is a huge song, but you followed it up with some pretty big hammers as well, dude. What's it been
like?
We
tried.
Yeah.
we did our best.
No, you succeeded in that.
Well, like, thank you.
The numbers prove that. The radio love proves that. I mean, if you hadn't followed it up, you wouldn't be working on a new record.
Well, thank you, man.
Like a debut record, dude. So it's freaking awesome. What was playing the Opry like? And I know that was like 6 months ago, but what was that feeling like?
That was really cool. It got me. I wasn't nervous about it. I think it's one of those things where you're like, you're going to play the Opry on this day, and you're kind of like, you know, cool, like you have it in your head, it's registering, and then you get there and then you're like, oh damn, like right before I walked out, it's like the lights are low and they've got like the big set and like there's cameras kind of like moving around on you, and it really feels like you're like shooting a movie or something, or like, and then it's dead quiet in there while you speak, like everyone's listening, or it's like we came off the Gavin tour, like I think we stopped off the Gavin tour to go play the Opry, and it's like when you're doing that, it's like there's something always going on, like someone's yelling or whatever, like getting drinks, or like there's always, you don't feel like everyone's like watching and listening to everything you say.
Yeah, it's a bar. All bar and club shows are like that.
But it's like the Opry's like, it's like church, you know. And then you start to think about everyone that's done it while you're up there, and then I was kind of like, you know, I was like nervous to be up there, I think, and like I didn't want to seem like I didn't belong up there, I guess. But it always puts like a weird little hex on me, like I was like echoing myself and like stuttering, like I never really get nervous to talk, but it kind of got me. But the last time we were there, I think we figured it out.
Like, so you've done it a few times now.
We've done it 3 times now, which is really cool. But I think to play, like, you just feel the energy of like the history for sure.
Yeah.
And it hexed me, got me.
That's awesome. But yeah, there's that spotlight on you. You're in that circle.
For sure. I think that's the thing. It's like you get up there and you're like, damn. Like I moved to town just like, I fell in love with country music like quickly. Like I didn't find it till 8th, 9th grade. But like once I fell in love with it, like it was the thing. Like I listened to all kinds of different country music. And I've gone backwards with time because I didn't really grow up on it. My parents didn't listen to it. It's like all the classic stuff is new for me. So like it's kind of like, I was just listening to all that stuff, and I'm like, damn, they played here. And you know, you stand in the circle, and like I said, I think just to be somebody that's played it on the long list of people that's played it, like, is cool.
It's wild, man. And you talk about listening to everything. And I think that's another reason that so many guys and girls out of Georgia succeed, because it's a country music capital. It's a gospel capital, and it is a hip hop rap
for
mecca.
Sure.
So it's like, as far as lyricism and melodies, you grow up listening to everything.
I've always said that about growing up. And like I said, it's like 30 minutes outside Atlanta. So like if we drove like 20, 30 minutes one way, like my dad worked in Atlanta, like downtown, and you drive the other way, then it's like you know, we had some friends that had land or whatever, and like you could mess around a little bit out that way. So like you said, it really is open to, and there's so many great, it's just such a big place. So many people live there. There's so many talented people like in all different walks of everything. So like, I always felt like you were free to kind of just do what you like.
Yeah. What's the best time to drive through Atlanta?
Oh God, never. Probably if you can avoid it, just don't do it. Maybe like 4 a.m.
4 a.m. that overnight. If there's no construction, yeah, because maybe. Then that's when they work on the roads, dude. That's been my thing for years of driving through 75, dude. It's fuck.
And then where I'm from too, like there's like these like back roads and like farm roads, and then there's like city traffic. So it's like, it's even worse. Like so many people moved out there to like be away from the city, and it's like, we can't all be here.
Yeah.
Or else it's the same problem.
Yeah. What was it like moving up here? Not really know. Did you know a lot of people up here when you moved, or what was that process of like finding homies and being a young kid in a new place? Cause you were 20 when you moved up here, right?
It's 19.
19.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I was 19. I was about to turn 20, like a month later. But I didn't know anybody. I think my dad had some family friends that were at Lipscomb. And that's kind of how we found out about Lipscomb, too. I was at Ole Miss. I wanted to do sports and entertainment law. So I was doing, like, pre-law, like political science there. And then that's where I started writing songs. And then I told my parents, I was like, I think I want to go to Nashville next semester. And they were great about it. I kind of was backtracking too. I was like, I'll go to Ole Miss for one more year, because I was supposed to live in the house at ATO, and I was like, I'll go for one more year.
And Oxford's a special place. Oxford's it's awesome. Tough to leave Oxford.
It really is. I think if COVID wasn't happening, I don't know if I would have. I probably wouldn't have left, because it was just such a weird time. And like, I kind of felt like I knew I wanted to write songs, so I was like, everything's so weird anyway. I was like, I might as well just kind of send it right now. But I wanted to go for one more year, and then my mom was like, no, like, you really want to do it, I can tell, so we'll figure it out. But they wanted me to be at Belmont or Lipscomb, like in school, just like a little bit of like a built-in thing. So that's how I found out about Lipscomb, and then I went there for about a year and a half, I think, like three semesters. But that was it. We knew a couple people, and they had already graduated, I think, so I really didn't know anybody. I didn't know anybody that was writing songs or in the business or anything. Like, I just knew that songs got written here. And for the first 2 years, I could have probably lived anywhere. I was just posting TikToks, and then met Matt and Kyle. And then that's kind of how I started meeting people in town for real. So I was here for probably 3 years, and then everyone was asking me, like, where are you from? Cause I was kind of on TikTok. And I guess now it's like, you kind of do it backwards. Like, you sign your deal online, or like, and then you move to town. Yeah, where like I was posting TikToks in town for no reason, but I was already here, so I was like, I live just down the road.
There was a reason, because you really wanted it, and you're I'm gonna figure this thing out and do what I gotta do to get eyes on me and meet people. And I mean, why not throw it out on the web that is social media, dude?
Yeah, and I didn't even do that for like 2 years. It was my roommates that I met a couple friends at Lipscomb, and I think we all dropped out pretty quick. They were in music school, but they were like, if you want people to hear it, like, you got to post them. And I didn't have any, I maybe had some aspirations to be an artist, but like, I wasn't serious about it. Like, I was telling everyone I wanted to be a songwriter, and that is what I want to do. Like, I still do love writing. If I had to pick one, I would pick probably writing songs. But I was like, I guess I'll just post them so people might hear them. Like, a publisher might hear them. And then people were like, drop this. And then I had no idea what I was doing. But that's kind of how it shook out.
That's wild though, dude. It's like that's the best way to do it though, because you're not putting pressure on yourself.
Right.
You're just like, I love this. I'm going to find a way to do it.
Right.
And then when did it become, oh shit, I guess I'm an artist now.
I think it was, I was posting covers for a while, and like, they weren't really reacting. And that was when I started posting like my stuff, is when like it actually started working. So that was kind of an early indicator to me that I was like, oh, maybe I do want to be an artist. And like, once you cut a record and stuff too, like, I love how it all turns out. Like going from, I kind of found out, like, I've written songs for people that it comes out, and it's like, I think it's cool, but like, I do kind of like that ownership of like cutting the record and like choosing some of the production stuff or whatever. Yeah. And like, kind of listen back to it. You're like, oh, that's me. Like, that sounds pretty good. Like, I'm proud of that. You know? But I think when I really felt like it was working was, I had some guys who are still our label. They kind of became Interscope. We have a split deal with Interscope and Universal. So I was working with these guys. Their company's called Music Soup, and Sean and Max, shout out them if they watch this. But Sean signed me to like a very short term record deal. It was kind of designed to be like something that became a bigger record deal later, which is what happened. But I think after we got on like song three or four that like people kind of wanted, and like once we made like a project, I was like, I kind of took ownership of that. And I was like, I like this, you know?
Yeah. I think that's the athlete in you too.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think once I start doing something, I want to do it really well. And like, that's kind of what I liked about sports was like, I thought I loved, you know, football and basketball, and I do, but I don't love like playing, I guess. Like, it's not really what does it for me the way like writing songs does, but like I do love the process of like getting better. And that's kind of what I've been saying in interviews or whatever, like on the radio tour, whatever interviews I'm doing, like they ask me what I'm excited about, and it's like I just want to write better songs and make better records and sell more tickets and have our set be something that's better, like as those better songs come in.
Yeah,
you know, like I just love that part of it. Like I love looking back and being like, oh, a year ago we were doing this, now it's like feels like we're moving along. So like however long that takes, that's fine, you know.
Yeah, dude. And I think that having that experience of playing sports and doing like travel teams and doing all that makes the whole touring thing easier, because it's like show day is game day.
Right. It is. Yeah. And I think I do like it because I feel like I wanted to be so good at like football and basketball, and like I kind of was just like fine, but like I do feel like I'm actually like good at singing and like playing shows. So it's like a little bit, I would get anxious when we were playing games. I'm like, I hope I play good today. And like now I'm just kind of like a little bit more chill. Like I can enjoy the day a little bit more, because like we know we're fine when we play the show.
Yeah. Where were you playing on the floor and on the field?
Bro, I had a wild, like I went to a small Christian school in Alpharetta, and I got bait and switch playing football my senior year. I was a quarterback for a long time, and then I would play like kind of tight end or like D-line. I'm like kind of stocky, you know? I'm not very quick, but I did know football. Like that is one thing. Like I have some knowledge of football, and I walked in and I broke my collarbone on just like a really like routine clean hit my freshman year of high school. and I just like got like they threw a pick. I was playing tight end, and I ran a route, like a post route that kind of like went right into the pick. And then the other safety came over and just like hit me pretty clean, and like my shoulder just like popped. And like I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And like we weren't very good. Like we won one game that year.
Collarbone freshman year will do that.
And I was like, I'll just play basketball for the next 2 years. And then senior year, they were like, man, Vincent, like you know football. We know you know football. Like pretty coordinated. They're like, come back out. All your friends are playing. Like we'll get you in a skill position. Like we'll get you the ball. And I was like, all right. I'll go back out and run it back at tight end. And we show up. And then they're like in a triple option scheme. And I'm like, it's like, where's the tight end in here? And they're like, yeah, we don't got one. And they're like, I guess you can try wide receiver for today. And then I was like, all right. And then they weighed us in. They were like, yeah, they're like, you know, you weigh 195, third heaviest on the team. They're like, you're the only other kid that like probably knows enough football to play center. So that's where you're going. And I was like, damn. And I like already told everybody I was playing. And like I played center for 10 weeks at like 195. And the thing about 1A, like private football, is like your school might not be very good, but like other people are recruiting, you know? So I was like going against like 300 pound kids like as a 190 just kid playing center that didn't really want to be out there. But, and we won one game. So,
yeah.
But, you know, I love those guys that I play with. I still talk to them every day. And I've known them since I was in like the first grade. Yeah. So I wasn't going to not play with them. But that was my football days. And then similar thing in basketball. We had a kid, Eric, shout out Eric too, but he was like 6'6", I think, or 6'7", but he was like a guard, so I would guard like the five. I was like a poor man's like Kevin Love. That was my player comp, like a very poor man's
like Kevin Love or like Kevin Looney kind of thing.
Kevin
like,
Looney, yeah. Maybe like a Draymond Green,
yeah.
blue guy.
yeah.
I was guarding the four, the five, and like, you know, I was just like, I was the swing pass to the, I was a lot of hockey assists, a lot of like long rebounds. That was my thing out there. Maybe a three or two every game. But that was the extent of my athletic career.
Do you still follow sports like closely?
Love them. Yeah.
So what are your teams?
College. My mom was a West Virginia.
Yeah, you said Mountaineers. Yeah.
We grew up on them. Like every time they were playing, like we'd stop. And then my dad's an Ohio State fan, so I probably picked the wrong side. But I just never, I don't know. I was always West Virginia for me on the college front, and then Braves, Falcons on pro. And
yeah.
I don't really cheer for an NBA team. I kind of just watched players.
It's more fun to just watch the sports. I root for the Knicks. I get suckered into all the New York teams they let you down. But like we're finally
good. Yeah.
We're good, but we're not great. So it's like we know we're gonna lose to Boston in the second round. That's just how it goes.
The Hawks routinely, let me down. Like our best teams that we had that I got to see got swept by LeBron 8-0. LeBron went 8-0 against
with Al Horford and Josh Smith. Yeah. And like
they were like the
Joe Johnson
East Coast Spurs. And then they just got swept by LeBron. So that was what I got to cheer for. And then the Falcons had the biggest Super Bowl collapse of all time. So,
yeah. The Georgia curse.
But I can't switch. I can't switch teams, but like, you kind of check out after that kind of happens.
What's it like being a Georgia native that's not a Bulldogs fan? Because you're claiming.
I was always the odd one out.
Yeah.
I hated it. Like, and then now that they're like the team that they are, I'm like, I'm glad that all my friends get to see that and everything. And like I'm happy for them.
It's nice that you're up here and not having to deal with it back home. That's like I had just moved here when the Eagles won the Eagles won the Super Bowl because I went to college right near Philly and I'm a Giants fan. So I'm like, oh fuck.
So
this year it's like, thank God I'm not up there to deal with all the Saquon stuff. It's bad enough that I got to hear it down here from the Eagles fans.
My roommate, who I also known since first grade, is a Giants fan. He crashes out every time the Eagles are mentioned.
Yeah, it's bad, dude. I don't know what the hell we're going to do. We're signing Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. So it's like we get these old guys, and it's like, do we pick Shador? How are we going to mess this pick up this year? Yeah. Last year was good, though, because Neighbors turned out to be solid.
Yeah, he's good.
But now we just need a guy that can get him the ball so he can do his thing.
He'll be all right.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. What was the biggest adjustment of going from, like, Ole Miss? Like, it is the ultimate, like, frat Southern Old South culture to come into Lipscomb and come into Nashville. You go from partying in tents with chandeliers to a Christian school in Nashville, Tennessee.
That was definitely like, I didn't even know it was like a Christian school like that until I got there.
Very Christian.
Like, here's your Christian egg credit that you need and your chapel weekly requirement. I was like, whoa. And then I remember the first day that I went to classes, I was kind of talking to some people, and I was like, so, where do y'all, go out? Like, what's the, I think it was, a Thursday. I was like, what do you guys do?
What's the move? Yeah.
Like, we don't. And I was like, oh. Okay. I was like, what do you do? They're like, we just kind of hang out. I'm like, all right, well, it was definitely a switch. And I'm like, do your thing. Like, I'm glad that that's what you do, but that was not, kids were going out on, Monday at Ole Miss.
Yeah. going to Proud Larry's, going to the library, going to some Ole Miss is a great town. I'm always more of a Starkville guy.
I've still never been there.
Just because I love Rick's Cafe.
Yeah.
It's like Starkville and Ole Miss and Starkville and Oxford remind me a lot of Tuscaloosa and Auburn, or Columbia and Clemson, you know, like there's like the slightly blue collar and then there's like the classic state school.
Right. Right. And I pledged while I was there. So I went through that.
Yeah. What's frat life at Ole Miss like?
I mean, they take it pretty serious.
Yeah.
Like it was, I didn't have a bad, I didn't have any crazy stories or anything like that.
Well, but you're young enough that a lot of the crazy shit isn't.
They got shut down.
Yeah. A little more kosher now. Yeah. A little more kosher.
Nothing crazy. I just met a bunch of people that I'm still friends with and it was cool, but we weren't allowed to go to the bars while we were pledging. And we kind of had to do all this, just wake up early, whatever, and do all that deal. And then I was a pledge, and then I left pretty quick. We went on spring break 2-3 weeks into second semester, and then that's when COVID happened.
Oh.
So I went to Destin, and I was just never a student at Ole Miss again. So
you went out with a bang.
I went and pledged, and then I went on spring break, and then that was the extent of Ole Miss for me, which I felt like I got it in. And then I would go back on the weekends, and I had a bunch of friends who went to Auburn too, so I felt like I still got. I would leave Nashville on a Thursday night and spend Friday, Saturday in Auburn or Ole Miss, depending on what was going on.
Yeah.
And I'd drive back on Sunday. So I felt like I got it in.
Yeah, you got the college experience, dude.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. And then it's like the second half of your college experience is meeting your buddies and doing this music thing.
For sure.
It's like Nashville University.
It does. It feels like I felt like I never really got that because Lipscomb was great, but I was kind of in this mindset that I was trying to just be there and get out. I really wanted a publishing deal and I kind of just went to school and went home. So I didn't really find a crew like you were saying, but now I do feel like I have the delayed college experience now. I got 4 or 5 friends that are doing what I'm doing and, Hummel and Routon and Kyle and all them. And then, we have bars to go to now that feel like the kind of home bars and stuff like that. So it's fun. I didn't feel like I had that. And I guess Nashville's kind of like a delayed college now.
It is, dude. I feel like I just recently graduated college and I'm 30. You know, it's like I've been here for coming up on 7 years now. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, you go through like the different chapters. Have you been back to do a show at Oxford?
I did. Yeah, we did. We did the Lyric with Gavin, which was.
How was that?
It was awesome. It was awesome. It's still the craziest thing that I've ever seen, like on stage. That was that show that they shut the PA off and like everyone was singing afterwards. Yeah.
But did you have a lot of friends from Ole Miss that came out for that one? Like, did you still have buddies there?
I had
there?
Some friends that are still kind of living around, but everyone was kind of graduated and gone. But I think like the word had gotten out that I had been there. So it was like, they were a great crowd for us. Like that was still one of our favorite shows we did. And then we went and did the small room Proud Larry's a little bit ago.
Proud Larry's is an interesting spot.
It is an interesting spot. It looks like it's going to be really small when you walk in. Like, it is like a smaller venue, but like it looks like you're like 50 people couldn't fit in there. And then you go to play the show and it's like, it's packed. And like, you can't see the back of the room. Kind of
that little green room. That's like the basement in the building next door with the TVs and stuff.
We loved it. And we weren't on the bus yet. We had a bandwagon for a month.
Oh, you know, the bandwagon, so
we were riding around on the bandwagon.
Bro, I've driven thousands of miles in a bandwagon. My tour manager days, bro. I've got to
go. Were you driving or riding?
I was tour managing and I was driving. We never hired a driver, so I was the driver.
Riding on the
I was the I was driving. Oh yeah, I've been thrown out of a bunker time or two. I've also thrown people out of a bunker time or two driving through like the Ozarks in Arkansas and shit. You know, I've driven that thing through a blizzard. I've been the guy that would have to drive up to Indiana, go get it, drive it back, and then drive us like 9 hours down the road to the show. Yeah. Like lots of caffeine and lots of nicotine, but the bandwagon life, it's like it's something.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we woke up in the middle of the night one night and we were like, we're checking the maps. We're like, where are we? We were in Louisville and it felt like we were going to like, you know, war.
Yeah.
Like D-Day or something.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude. It's wild. So this tour that you're on right now, it's like, what's it like to see sold out next to everything? Like, that's got to be pretty wild for your first headlining tours. Don't go like that. Like, it doesn't always happen.
Yeah. I think that it was a relief, you know. I think, like you said, it's that I've got that kind of thing that I guess it comes from playing sports or whatever.
Competitive,
numbers based, I guess. Like, you try not to care about it. And I guess a lot of people are like, I don't care about the numbers. Like, I just care about the whatever. But I think everyone kind of does. And I do. So I'm glad that we sold it out. And I think just beyond that, like, I think it's just cool. Like, I was always aiming to do stuff that people would want to go see a show.
Yeah.
Because that's like the artist that I fell in love with. Like, I can't wait to go see a show. Like, Eric Church, Parker McCollum, you know, like Morgan Wallen. Like, you want to go see them live. And like, I was always kind of trying to point stuff towards that. And I think if something's not streaming as much as something else, you're always kind of like, yeah, but it'll sell tickets. And like, you don't actually know. It's just something you say. And then like, once people do buy tickets, you're like, oh yeah, it actually did work. And then they're like shouting out songs that you think nobody cares about because it's not as high on streaming or whatever. It's like not something that people sing when you're opening, but then like you're at your headline show and the people are like, I can't believe you didn't play this song. And they're like, I listen to that every day. And you're like, that's pretty cool. You know, it's like you're not just throwing songs into the void and like no one's hearing them. Like, it is cool to be in the same room as the people that it's like actually finding.
Yeah, so, dude.
I think that's what I've taken from it. And then I'm also trying to get used to not being the opener anymore. Like, I always like, how long headline, I feel like someone else is coming out.
Yeah.
There.
How long of a set are you doing right now?
I think we're running about 85.
It's a lot different from a 30-minute or sometimes 15-minute.
Sometimes 15, yeah.
Yeah.
Or 6 or whatever. Yeah. If you play the Opry or whatever, you play like 2 songs. But it's a lot different. I was losing my voice quickly afterwards because you can't go to the bar or do whatever you were doing afterwards when you're playing triple the length of your set sometimes because it's like you're going to lose your voice. So I'm getting used to that. You have to kind of take a little bit more care of it to last the whole 90. And it's also just a long time to fucking be standing there.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Yeah. You're kind of like, gosh, I feel like I'm supposed to leave now. Like, I feel like everyone's tired of looking at me, you know?
Talk about the guys you got in your band. What's the Rode family like?
They're awesome. Like, I really do. Like, I feel like it is kind of a God thing that we have the team that we have. And I'm thankful for it. Kyle still runs out there with us. He's not the TM anymore. We got Ryan Bell now. And he's like, he's awesome. And then everyone in our band, like, I think they're really talented and they all fit the vibe of what we're doing. But like, we all just kind of get along as like a family. And it was pretty quick. And we were glad to be that way too on the Gavin tour. Like their entire camp and our entire camp got to be friends. Like it wasn't just me and Gavin. It was literally like across the board. Like we had, again, it felt like college. Like it was like the traveling.
Like it's a like a traveling frat. Yeah. We're going to come and bring like the party. It's like the Barstool like Blackout the tour. Frat. Yeah.
Yeah. Like all, like however many it turned out, like 30 of us probably. Like we all got along just on both sides, like across the board. So we're trying to carry that into our headline show. Like we want to have a camp that people feel like they can, you know, be friends with us. And Gavin was always taking care of us and like giving us pointers and making sure we felt like we were, you know, there to play a show too. Like not just the background noise.
Yeah, because there's a lot of guys that aren't that way with their openers. So yeah. It sounds like you've been able to, you've been blessed with, whether it's Gavin or it's Ashley or it's Luke Bryan or it's whoever, soon Riley Green, you're going on the damn country music tour, which that's going to be sick.
That's going to be sick.
That's going to be wild. Who are some of the guys that you've had out opening for you so far? I know my boy Cole Goodwin's out there with
Cole,
you.
Our first run with him is coming up. Yeah. We've had Zach John King, who's
Love Zach, dude.
And Clayton Mullen, who's a buddy. Yeah. And I dig his stuff, too. So, and he's a great hang, you know.
Yeah.
They're just running acoustic, too. So it's fun to have them out there. And, you know, I remember doing it acoustic. So it's a little bit weird to not have your band or your camp with you. You know, you're just showing up and try to fit into somebody else's camp. But it fit pretty well. So, yeah, we got Cole Goodwin coming out. Blake Witten's coming out. I was a fan of his ever since I saw that first reel.
Unbelievable.
Sick. And I remember I was like I was texting everybody that I knew that had the ability to sign people. I was like, y'all should sign this kid. And then Jake Keeney was already on it.
Yeah. So, Jake Keeney's on everybody.
He's on it.
And he's a great karaoke singer. Him singing that Luke Bryan song that's going viral right now. Jake Keeney's one of my favorites.
He's in the Crisscross Kids feeling it. That was that comment has like 20,000 likes. Yeah. But no, great vibe. But Blake's out there and Zach John King's out there. Cole's sick too.
Yeah, dude. I've known him since he was like getting started. He's part of like that Statesboro, that South Georgia scene, you know?
So it's cool. I do feel like, I don't feel like it's like they're opening the show for me. Like I do want it to be a vibe where it's like they're also playing the show.
They're part of the show. Yeah.
And it's like, I don't feel like should have openers. You know what I mean? Like I just still, it's still so like new to me. Like I literally feel like somebody else is going to come out after we finish our headline set.
And in some rooms it's the DJ and the wobble just kicks in as you're loading out.
Right. So I don't even feel like they should be opening. You know what I mean? I feel like we're playing those dates with them, which is cool. And I'm just a fan of all of them. So
that's sick, dude. And you're going to some of my favorite rooms coming up. Like I'm looking out here on the tour because that was what I was doing in a past life. I got to go through all these different clubs all over the place. So you're going to West Peoria.
You're a TM in the past
life? I was a TM. I was a merch guy. So yeah, I used to be out with the Muscadine Boys and then I was out with Trey Lewis for about 4 years. I've done all these clubs that you're going to, like Fayetteville, Arkansas, Indianapolis, Grand Rapids. You've got Coyote Joe's. I don't know if have you been out there?
We did that one. Yeah, with Gavin.
Oh, that had to be nuts. Coyote Joe's is always crazy.
It's
dude.
Always sick. Yeah, that was one. And Charlotte's kind of like, I guess statistically a big city for us. So, like Gavin's crowds are always great. And then like we had a lot of overlap, and they knew a lot of our stuff too.
Yeah,
so.
Coyote Joe's is wild. That was sick. One. It was back in the Muscadine days, but they were doing their meet and greet over by the merch table, and people were like, it was like a riot at the. And that was pre COVID Muscadine. So that was when it was like Porch Swing Angel, like laid back.
Right.
And that room was still rowdy and crazy.
Oh, they love it, dude. They were filming something. I guess they were gonna pitch to Netflix. They were filming like all the people that were coming through for like the last 2 months or whatever. Yeah. So hopefully that comes out.
That'd be sick.
They were interviewing Gavin.
That's
and
awesome. Us,
and yeah, I hope that comes out on.
That's
Netflix.
Awesome. Yeah, and you're going to Isle of Palms, which I love the Windjammer. Such I don't know if you've been there.
Venue. We did that one with Ashley.
Yeah, out on the beach, like, so sick. It's sick. And then Anderson, South Carolina, Wendell's Dippin' Branch.
Haven't done that one.
That's a little hole in the wall.
That's what
I've
heard.
That is rowdy as can be. That's one of my favorite, like, rowdy, tiny little bars. Jackie, the owner out there, he's this awesome, awesome dude. He's a lot of fun, so you'll have a blast out dude.
That is the coolest thing. I think also being a fan and, like, trying to have a career as an artist, too. Like, I went back and... to the early days of all these artists, and like it's just cool to be like, this artist played there and this artist
played
there. Like the small club tours really cool.
Yeah, and you're getting to do a lot of festivals this year. This is a big festival year for you, and we're going to be at some of the same festivals.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to get to introduce you in front of like 30,000 people.
Let's go. Which one's that?
We're doing Calf Fry in Stillwater, Oklahoma. That's coming up in like a few weeks. Yeah. And that one, I've been to the have you been to the Tumbleweed before?
No.
So it's a cool venue. It's where Garth Brooks, actually, he was a bouncer there and then became the house band back in the late 80s.
Hell yeah.
So that was like where he started out. And it's like the home venue for guys like Wyatt Flores and Zach Bryan and Turnpike, like all like the Oklahoma scene lives Red Dirt. Like Cross Canadian Ragweed's doing 5 shows there this weekend. Like it's like Red Dirt Mecca in a way.
Okay, hell yeah.
So they do a big festival out in the back, and it's like a massive stage, and it's that festival's gonna be nuts. And then the other ones,
I'm hyped for that now.
Yeah. Oh, dude,
there was before.
They're wild out there. I love. They always say getting silly and stilly. It's where Oklahoma State is.
I love that.
All the Oklahoma State kids. It's
that'll be my dump. My Instagram dump caption.
Yeah, silly and stilly. Yeah. Dude. And yeah, we'll have a good time there. And then tailgating tall boys.
Yeah.
In Bloomington, Illinois. You're doing cruisins as well. Have you been up there before?
Yes. We did that one. Sick. We did that with Gavin.
Cruisins is a time.
Yeah, a time. For sure. Hopefully it'll be a time for us too.
It will be.
Yeah.
It will be. The crowd always shows up there, and those guys that run that place are the same guys that run Tailgate and Tall Boys. So they're some of the few owners that will party with you and like party with the band.
Right.
And you're in for a night when you're up that way. So the Tailgate and Tall Boys in Bloomington is
I think
be sick
that's
too.
Where the leg lamp originated.
Yes.
Gavin's leg lamp.
Yeah, because he saw it and he took it. Yeah. They're like, hey, you want merch? Here you go. And now they have that new bar across the street. Was Ducks open when you guys were up there?
I don't think so.
So there's a bar. They have another location across the street called Ducks.
Hell
and
yeah.
It's this tiny little like hometown. Feels like you're in the TV show Cheaters from back in the day. And it's like the after hours bar after cruising shuts down. And it's just it's a vibe. It's very chill.
Maybe we'll pop over there.
Oh, you will. That's part of the experience. You hang out in a little green room that's detached, and then you go and play the show, and then you go and party and have after hours fun at Ducks.
You'll have a
good time out there. What are the big goals for this year? We're talking about like you're working on a record. You're touring like a beast right now, which is what you should be doing, which is awesome, which not a lot of people get to do. And you've been doing the radio tour thing.
Yeah. That kind of sums it up. I think that's been the first quarter of the year, I guess, however long it's been. Like that's what we've been doing, and pretty sure that's the plan. Looking at the calendar, that's the plan for the rest of the year. So I think just keeping everything moving on that, what we started. And I've always wanted to play a lot of shows. Like ever since I found out that that's kind of the country way to do it is like just play a shitload of shows. Like I always wanted to do that. So I'm glad we're doing that. And I think my biggest goal is making sure the record's as good as it can be. I think, and that all it all feeds into each other. It's like if you make the record better, the shows are going to get better. Set's going to get better. So, and then it's all a loop now, which is cool. And I've kind of, I guess taking on like a little bit of an executive, like producer ear, I guess. Like I hear way more things in songs, and like I know what I want, and I know how to say it on our records too. So working with Jake on this one, I'm excited to kind of have a little bit more control of how it turns out and being able to raise my voice on that. You know, I think a lot of times I was like, I think they just kind of know better than me. And like, I just didn't trust myself to do it, I guess. And like, or I would fall in love. Like it would turn out a certain way. And then I'm kind of like have a curious like side to me as a music fan where I'm like, well, I do like it, you know, listen to it 10 times. And you're like, I actually do like this now. And it's, I just want to make sure that it's what I had in mind. And like the record is me. And it's like something I can look back on and be like, that was my first record. And that's my biggest goal, just to make sure, like, dig in a little deeper this time and make sure it is what I want it to be, you know?
Yeah, dude. I mean, you're the CEO of your business.
Right.
And you've got your partners sitting in this room right now. Like, this is how, that's what it is. Like, you want to be, you got to be hands-on if you want it to really be, like,
for sure.
For the fans to know Vincent Mason, you got to have your hand in what the shit sounds like.
And I think Eric Church, like, I go back and listen to all these interviews and whatever, and Eric Church was saying, like, if they don't know something about you from your album, especially your debut album, like you need to dig a little deeper. Like someone should take it away. Even if you're not like, you know, explicitly stating facts about yourself, like they should be able to know who you are based on like how it sounds and what you're writing about and all that. So I want to make sure, like you said, like this, it's Vincent Mason, you know, like if you're going to know me, like that's you listen to the record. You know? Yeah, dude. You don't have to listen to me talk.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. What's something that you would tell that 19-year-old kid that just went through spring break in Destin and ends up moving to Nashville? What's something, looking back now, what's something you would tell him fast forward 5 years to now? You got a debut album coming out. You're playing sold out shows. You've been on tour with Luke Bryan. You've gotten to make best friends that you've toured with. And you've got a tour with Riley Green coming up. And just life, like where you're at as an artist, what would you tell that kid that's like, oh, I kind of like music. I'm going to try writing songs.
I think I'd probably say just to keep the way that I felt like when I was 19, I first moved here, like it was the best time. I think I didn't even know it at the time because it was all I knew, but like to be somebody trying to write songs, like that was the best moment of my life to like move to town, like not know anybody. And like all you have is to just figure out like what's going on with you and like trying to figure out how to write songs. And I was just so obsessed with everything country music. And I think I would tell them to just remember that and try to like bottle up that feeling and use it later when that stuff does come. Cause I did feel like, I always feel kind of weird saying it, I guess, but like, I felt like there was a God thing telling me that it was going to happen. You know, one of the biggest things I heard from Lipscomb was like, I wasn't there a ton. but the one thing that I did pull from that, we had a professor and he was like, he had everyone write down like your biggest goals in life. And he was like, just write it down and then look at it. And I think mine was, you know, to be like a major label touring country artist. And that was the first time I'd like written it down. And then he was like, whatever your deepest desire, like whatever you wrote down is like God's plan for you. And like that kind of flipped. Like it's not just something that I was hoping to do. Like it was something that I really, really wanted to do in a real way. You know, it wasn't just like that would be cool. It was like, I knew that's what I wanted to do. And I think ever since I heard that, it kind of flipped the way I looked at it. So I felt like those things were coming. But I feel like if I could talk to that kid, I'd be like, just try to remember that feeling for later when it doesn't feel as, you know, new or cool. Just remember like how much you loved it and get back to that feeling if you ever feel like you're not loving it anymore, you know?
Yeah, and enjoy every moment along this path, dude.
For sure. Because
it all moves so fast. Right. And I'm sure some of it like even blends together, especially doing the radio tour when you're flying all over the place.
Absolutely.
Flying somewhere, renting a car, and then going to this and then going to that. And it's just, it goes so fast that you got to enjoy every moment.
For sure. I think that's what everyone says. Like, these are the ones, like, the more you feel like not doing it and the more it turns out being like, why did I just do that? Like, those are the stories you tell and laugh about and you have to look back on. So, yeah, I'm trying to do that. Like I said, though, I've always kind of been that person that likes to be still. But I am, I think, doing better than I thought I would. Just traveling around. I think you kind of, you know, being a tour manager, you just got to take it as it comes. Like,
oh, dude,
you just got to laugh. Like when stuff goes wrong, like it's just like, you just know it's going to be a funny story one day. And you try to just like, can't take anything too seriously or like get too like glued to a plan, you know?
Yeah. Amen, dude. Well, man, I appreciate you coming out here. Yeah, I'm glad we were finally able to make
it work.
Because you're always running and gunning, man, you know?
I know. I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
I wanted to do it. And I know I played around with you early on, so
yeah, man, that's something we pride ourselves on, is finding the kids that move to town and don't know anybody yet and give them a place to play.
Yeah,
and
man.
And people that we believe in. You're somebody that we've been proud to be side by side with and believing in from day one. Yourself, guys like Gavin, guys like Chase McDaniel, you know, man. Guys like Jack Hummel and Jack Routen, like your whole crew. It's been cool to watch you guys all win together. That's one of the best parts.
Hell yeah, man. Thank you.
So appreciate you coming on. Y'all be sure to look up our boy, Vincent Mason. He's got some shows coming up. We're going to see him at some festivals. And yeah, you go to, is it VincentMason.com?
Yep.
VincentMason.com. Yeah. Okay, cool. And then. Yeah,
should be.
Yes, it should be. Vincent Mason Music. Music. We got. That's why we bring him to the interviews.
There is a rapper named Vincent Mason.
Oh, really?
He still pops up. So. It's not me.
What a collab that would be.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
Who knows? That could happen. But look up our boy Vincent Mason. Be on the lookout for new music coming out. Do we have anything new like coming soon?
I think so. Yeah.
You think so? Yeah. All right.
I don't know. Oh, we got to get it mixed and everything. And
yeah, okay. Well, maybe. Be on the lookout for new music. Get out to a show. The boys out there headlining, selling out shows. You can get your tickets, VincentMasonMusic.com. And Vinny, we're sending you home with an 8-pack of Surfside. Amazing. I got the green teas over there. I got the iced teas, the lemonades, all that stuff. Yeah. And then we got a bunch of hats. You can go through, grab whatever you want. Y'all be sure to check out our friends at Surfside. And for more on us, visit RaiseRowdy.com. For my man Vincent, I'm Matt Brill. This has been Outside the Round. Never been the kind for stand. Want
place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve. They usually just